I'm not going to say stop me if you've heard this one before, because you probably heard this one before. Our scripture today is from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Let's listen anew, and let the Spirit guide us as we hear the Word of God. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Poor Martha. You get snippy at dinner one time, and they tell it for 2,000 years. It's in the Bible. I imagine her talking to the evangelist, you know, "Oh, what are you putting in that new gospel you're writing?" You know, "Well, you know, only got a little paper, a little ink, you know, you can't fit everything in, not even all the miracles, not even all the teachings of Jesus, just enough to get the big picture. You know, feeding 5,000, Sermon on the Mount, raising Lazarus from the dead, walking on water, cross, Easter, that time you yelled at your sister. Kingdoms have risen and collapsed. Billions have lived and died. Cities covered the ground and then emptied out and then bent rebuilt. And the story that outlived them all was Martha saying, 'Mary, could you help with the dishes just once, please?'" And all sorts of people in those eons to come would teach their children, "Don't be a Martha." People she never met are using her name to describe every busybody with a scrub brush who ever lived. Every person who is pushy about working instead of what matters, they're Martha now. "Martha, your name will live on forever, but in a bad way." Jesus tells the disciples to wash each other's feet, but he lands on Martha for washing their dishes. And Mary, chatty Mary, is slacking off in the fellowship hall. There were two sisters, Martha and Mary. Like the beginning of a story, the kind of story Jesus would tell, like there were two brothers, one responsible, one prodigal. There were two people at prayer, a Pharisee and a tax collector. A rich man and a poor man, the self-righteous and the humbled, the unexpectedly gracious one and the one surprisingly full of grace. They fill the parables. But Martha is not a parable. She was there with Jesus, not in one of his stories. A human full of all the complications of being a human outside of a story. These were not two personality types who sat down to eat. Not the hero and the villain of the story. But two people in one moment at a dinner eating real food. And whether the bread was burning in the oven or done to perfection, whether the conversation flowed easy or swiftly, haltingly, whether they started with small talk and said, "So Jesus, how's the road from Galilee this year?" Or they started straight away into the resurrection and the life type of talk. They were there. They were there. And when you're there, the food doesn't stop cooking in the oven when you're done with the story. The dishes don't disappear. They stay there, dirty. Because in real life, the dishes need to be cleaned and the food taken out of the oven. And since these are people and not types, and though this is not a Martha type of person and a Mary type of person, but Mary and Martha in the flesh, there are still patterns. The kind of patterns you have to live with every day in real life when two different types of people are together. Predictable divisions. Arguments you've had 1,000 times. And maybe this is a pattern for the sisters and their guests. And Martha has loved bringing the fresh bread out to the table and loved seeing the look on their faces and been careful to always be a good host. And Martha, much as she loves it, grows tired. Her hands get tired. She gets tired of being the one who makes sure the work gets done. She's tired of being the one who has to send for her sister to even get her in the room. You can hear the patterns behind the way Martha says, "Lord, will you tell her to help me?" That's the move of someone who's already tried to get her to help plenty of times before. Will you tell her to help me? The kind of question that comes after a lot of arguments that turn into yelling, "You do this every single time." You know the kind of argument, I'm pretty sure. If you've got a spouse, you've probably had that one before. If you've got a child, you've definitely had that one before. Eyes rolled, doors slammed, dinner's getting cold, stacks of undone chores, real frustrations build, and they don't go away. And then someone is saying, "You always do this," the same way they've said it before. And in church, there are those times when suddenly we're having the same old arguments again, and maybe we know what everyone is going to say, and we say it anyway, and the arguments start, and then somehow at the end, someone's not bringing potatoes to the potluck next time. We know the patterns, even if they keep happening. I have the feeling that if Martha heard someone years later say, "Don't be such a Martha," she would know. Her heart might break a little, but she would know exactly what they meant. So here comes the pattern again. Mary and Martha, like they always do it, and Martha is ready for it. Round 287, and she's got Jesus in the room. The be a servant Jesus. The go an extra mile for another person Jesus. And so, Jesus, she says, "Maybe you could get Mary to send a little love thy neighbor in my direction and help me with the housework." And here he is, the Son of Man, right in the middle of this tangle. And he doesn't say, "You're right, Mary, get off your rump and help." And he doesn't say, "Well, it's a matter of compromise. Maybe you get Mary to help on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but Martha, you can give Mary the time off to recuperate that she needs." And he doesn't say that. But then again, he also doesn't say, "Psh, don't be such a Martha." What he says is, "Martha, Martha, you were worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." He sees the tired hands and the stresses. The way this is all repeated itself, he sees that. Worries and distractions, jobs to be done. He knows. He cares. And yes, he's sitting with Mary. He says Mary has chosen the better part. But he means right here, right now. He's not saying Mary is perfect or even that Mary is better. It's just that for good reasons or bad, whatever the pattern has been in the past, Mary is there with him. And that's not something to take away. The point is not stop being bossy all the time. It's come, I'm here. Be here where I am. It's not that Mary wins or that Martha's out of line even really, but that right here, right now, is the kingdom of God. Come and see. And maybe Mary only found that place at the feet of Jesus because she was too lazy to be distracted by hard work, because Jesus walked right over to where she was laying on the couch. But she found it. She was where she was supposed to be. And maybe Martha only found that center in Jesus after many distractions, after the usual knockdown, drag-out argument with her sister, but she found it too, I think. The hand was extended. Release your cares and distractions, pressing as they are, Martha. Not that your work is in vain, but that what you're working for is already here. And Martha can take her place alongside her sister. And neither of them is there because they are the one who deserves to win an argument. They're there because Jesus is there. And he invites them both alike. And so the church is not about being Mary instead of Martha at Jesus' feet. The church is Mary and Martha sitting down together. And all the worries and cares about who's lazy and who's distracted and who's wrong and who's also wrong, about who's busy and who's barely functioning, they don't matter once we're sitting down together. Because Mary and Martha need each other. We need each other. Saints and sinners, prodigals and hypocrites, Mary's, Martha's, Peter's, Paul's, all the tangled thickets of our arguments and habits and our many worries about many worrisome things, we need each other. We need to gather together at the feet of Jesus and lay our cares and patterns and arguments aside. We gather together to listen to Jesus and see. But the story doesn't say for sure what happened that day after Jesus spoke. The hand was offered to Martha. Did she take it then? Did she go back to cooking and scrubbing, furious and confused, or did she lay her dishes down and sit? I know what I hope is the answer, and what I think might be the answer, but if I don't get to know for sure. If she did sit down, that part is not in the Bible. Poor Martha. But whatever the answer is there, they show up, this pair of sisters, once more, together in the Bible. We do know that on another day, Jesus comes to visit them again after their brother has died. When he arrives, Martha is there to greet Jesus in great faith and patience. She is very sad. But Martha still does what a conscientious host would do. That's Martha. Mary, well, we grieve in different ways. And Mary has not managed to get up and out of the house yet. So Martha sends for her distraught sister. Now she gets to be the one calling for Mary to come and see and be in the presence of Jesus. And Mary gets out of the front door just barely. She breaks down crying immediately. And they stand together, Mary and Martha. Martha doing the expected thing, Mary scarcely holding on. In all their differences, they still stood there in Jesus' presence as he called into their brother's tomb. Lazarus, come out. And then two very different sisters saw it together. Life coming out of death. Amen.